Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Singer-songwriter Ryan Warner from Columbus, Ohio, taught himself how to play guitar in 1996. He went on to minor in classical guitar for a year at the University of Toledo. Besides the guitar, Ryan also plays banjo, harmonica, and percussion, and enjoys writing and singing songs as well. Ryan has a new Americana-themed project on the way, and we talk about that as he joins me for this next edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
Glad to get a chance to catch up with you, talk to you about what's going on in your music world. You are in Columbus, Ohio, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
All right, good deal. Is that where you've been your whole life?
No, I used to play music in Toledo, Ohio. So not too far away, but I'm a little bit south now.
Yeah, okay. I was reading over some of your notes, and you started playing guitar in 96 as a youngster. When did that start for you?
Freshman year in college. I think the guy I worked for during the summertime gave me his old guitar.
Okay.
So I started learning, playing, and that's what I would do in the dorm room in between classes.
Yeah. And then went on to college from there, right? To study a little bit?
Yes, that study, it took a while. It seemed like every time I started getting into school, I would start making headway in the music scene, and we'd play like, you know, 3, 4, 5 nights a week, and then I would eventually not go to class very often.
Okay.
But it was fine. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. When did that part of it come in for you?
Songwriting came in, I think, pretty early, but not. It didn't manifest itself until probably about 5 years later, 6 years later. I had a bunch of friends that were poets. So I would go to the open mic nights.
Okay.
And read poetry and stuff like that. And I started figuring out that besides guitar music, the one thing that drew me to music was the lyrics.
Yeah.
And if the lyrics weren't very good. You know, it didn't really hold my attention.
Right.
So, I think I was playing a band with about four or five other people at the time, and I was just starting to write songs, and we didn't play any of them. They weren't very good. But after we broke up, I went to live in this place called Collingwood Arts Center, and I lived alone, and I started writing a lot of songs. So, actually, a couple of the songs are on, will be on the new album I have coming up here at the end of the month.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah. And what was your musical influences along the way? What kind of style do you did you morph into? What's your favorite thing to play, and what influenced that?
Well, my all-time favorite is the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. Okay.
Even today, like Grateful Dead, hands down. And I think it's really because the mesh storytelling lyrics with improv jam, you know, jazz, country, blues, all that stuff is thrown in there. As I started making other friends outside of, you know, the people I was playing music with, I meet DJs. I knew a bunch of punk rocker kids. So all that became influencing me. You know, I was really big into, I love Rancid, the punk band Rancid. And I started figuring out that a lot of the, you know, he wrote all his songs on acoustic guitar.
Oh, cool.
With the lyrics.
Okay.
And a lot of those are just like CFMG songs.
Yeah.
There's a source in there, and then you have, you know, punk rock, but if you take it all away and play a little different approach, you have like a folk or bluegrass song all of a sudden. So, the more music I listen to, it may not show up in the music, but it definitely plays a part in the music.
When you kind of reinterpreted some of those songs, did you get a chance to play them out for other people?
You know, sometimes we did. I'm just recording a James Addiction song, Ben Caught Stealing, here in my house.
Yeah.
So I made a bluegrass song out of it.
Oh, cool.
Same chords and everything. And then this week I was sitting at home, I forget what magazine I was looking at online, and they talked about Molly Tuttle, her album came out.
Yeah.
I wasn't real familiar with her before, but so I get it because I have a feeling she's playing some Dead songs because of the title, and she does. She plays a Rancid song, I think track 7 perhaps, and then following up is a Grateful Dead song.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my goodness, this is phenomenal. Like,
Yeah, that's cool.
I totally love it. Like, so...
And you play other instruments as well, right? You're not just guitar.
I play some, a little bit of banjo, harmonica. I used to play bass. I had that stolen from me, so I'm not even sure where it's at right now. And then some hand percussion, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly familiar with guitar.
Did you play any of those instruments on your recordings?
Yeah, I play all of them. So on the recording, I play guitar, rhythm lead, and harmonica.
Okay.
I didn't bust a banjo out in this session, but, maybe next album I have coming up.
Yeah, okay. And so you have a new project that you're still working on, right? It's not quite ready to come out?
Not quite. It's all recorded. It's all over. With the guy, he's mastering it right now. And I have two tracks back right now.
Okay.
Maybe 12 total. So he said it should be done by the end of this week.
And do you have a title for it yet?
Yes, I do.
One that we're sharing yet, or is it not? Are we not sharing that yet?
No, I had to find it because I had to go mine like this. The title of it is called Young Skin Heart.
Okay.
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense as is, but that's also a song on the album.
And that is tell us that again.
Young Skin Heart.
Young Skin Heart. Okay.
So basically, what that's about is when I first got married in my life, it was the youngness that we both felt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things of the line of 32, but we're going on 6. Even to this day, like, you know, I'm thinking 43 now, but we're still big kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we still like to play and be creative, and, you know, that doesn't change at all.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of that song is people that are getting older by year, but they refuse to grow up, basically.
Yeah, okay. And the flavor of this record is going to be along the lines of the Americana Grateful Dead kind of feel?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I listen to all kinds of stuff, that's a style that comes out of me.
Yeah.
Which I find great for, you know, telling stories or lyrical endeavors.
Yeah.
Or, and plus I just like playing sometimes really fast, like, you know, this guitar.
Now, are all of these original?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're all original. 11 of them, no, sorry, 10 of them have lyrics. One is a banjo instrumental.
Okay.
And the other one is, it's instrumental, it's finger picking on a guitar, and with lead guitar over top. I started writing these songs maybe 3 years ago, and I got a brand new guitar. And for some reason, a pick didn't sound right on it, so I started finger picking all this stuff. And all these classes from University of Toledo, I spent time as a classical guitar writer. They all came back, and I started writing these songs that were more like if the Grateful Dead was in started doing finger picking, no lyrics.
Okay.
So it really opened up these big improv jams I had with myself.
Hmm.
So I had about 8 or 9 of those written right now, and I put about 1 or 2 on an album.
Yeah. And I read where you actually like writing songs that don't have lyrics, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like writing both, but sometimes, you know, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, mostly every day. So it's really nice to sit here with a cup of coffee or something and just start finger picking and see what happens, and capture the emotion of whatever I'm feeling, or of the room or whatever, and you can jot things down, and then just kind of, you know, I'm not one, similar to the Grateful Dead, I don't like to play songs the same way twice.
Okay.
So these improvs, kind of improv jams, the chord structure stays the same, but I'm afraid to add me to do what I want within those confines, make up a part that goes in the middle here, a part that goes in the middle here. The song that's on this album coming out is called Coffee with Lincoln in the Morning, which I wrote up in Canada. And I probably recorded this song at least 10 times. They're all like, there's some main parts of the song, but they all sound completely different when they're recorded, like, all together. I think it's a fun way to play, and it's interesting. And you also capture the moment of right then and there when you're recording it.
Now, are you doing these in your own studio, home studio?
Yes.
Okay.
I record here. I've always done that. And with technology, we got a little bit better, I think. So I record here that I just send them over to the guy I have who mashes them for me and mixes them for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he gets them back whenever he has time.
Yeah. Okay. So,
yeah.
And when you get to play these out, do you go out solo, or do you have a group that you work with when you play live?
I had a group. I've had various groups. Right now, solo. And I think I'm, you know, with good looking shows right now in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
I played one 2 weeks ago. I was outside in a parking lot.
Okay. Solo gig.
That was for, yeah, just a solo gig. I think there's like 3 or 4 bands, and it was for a, storage, like Halloween party. So we were all outside. But that was the first time I played here in Columbus, in Bike, so it's a whole lot out there.
Mm-hmm.
I started.
Yeah, it's been tough on everybody.
Yeah. But I figured, you know, this is the time now to pull out a bunch of songs, everything I've written, and just start laying it down into a studio type deal and get them recorded.
This
will be coming out hopefully at the end of November, and then probably in January I'll start back doing it again, and I already have songs for the next album already written. So
yeah, okay, so just turn right around and do it again.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I think I read where you're also you're into art, photography. It's not just music, right? There's other things you do in the creative world.
Yeah, that's correct. I started out being a painter.
Oh, cool.
So I would paint in between. I was with my bass player and my singer at the time. And when we were home, I would just paint. And I started digging that and design work. And then I got into photography. So today I still do photography. I do web design. But, you know, for the past couple of years, I've been drawn back to writing. And I finally realized that, you know, I don't really have to write books or that sort of material. I have all these songs that I've written, and I just keep doing that. So I think it's a perfect... One of my perfect mediums, I think, is combine the lyrics with music.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like there's a good synergy there, even between the imagery that you create, matching that up with some of your songs as well. Do you do the artwork for your CDs?
Yes, I do. All that stuff. I have to go in, this week I have to lay out the inside of the jacket for the CD cover, and then the back cover as well. But the front one's all done. You know, all this stuff, I find it's, I love doing that work. It's phenomenal work to me.
Yeah, yeah.
We started out back when I was in my 20s. We would do albums at home. We didn't have computers or printers then, so we'd get a bunch of magazines and cut out stuff, and we'd make flyers and get a Kinko's and
mm-hmm.
Print the album covers out, and they'd all be black and white, or the cheapest way to do it.
Yeah.
A long way since then.
I don't think the young generation, because I've done that too, and I don't think the young generation appreciates the art form of clip and paste, and then stealing from type from magazines and newspapers and cutting out little portions of a picture and making a different picture, you know. And I'm not sure if that type of art form has a particular style, but I'm a little bit older than you, and I remember being in college, and that was the way to make a show poster for a bar gig somewhere, you know, is to kind of that clip
That's
and
right.
clip and paste, and then, you know, run 50 copies off at Kinko's, black and white, and stick them all over the place.
Remember, trying to scrounge like $5-$10 up, and, you know, me and whoever else, we would get in the car and go to Kinko's and do it, and then we would just drive around all the places and put them up, all the coffee shops in town, and put them up, and talk by the bar, we're playing that, put them up there.
Yeah, I miss that art form. Everybody's using Photoshop now or something like that, you know. It's more clean and polished, but there's something kind of cool about that that messiness of that clip and paste, and you see the shadow lines when the copies run off and all that kind of craziness. So yeah. That's cool. So you've released a couple singles, is that right?
I released it in EP. An EP last year.
Okay. But no singles from this new record yet.
Nothing yet.
Okay.
EP I released last year. I think I did all myself. I didn't have anyone help me with it or master it or mix it and stuff. I did everything. But I realized at the end of it that writing the songs and the lyrics and the music and all the guys, you know, and play them all and record it all and then trying to finish it up. I didn't really have a training to know if I was reading about songs have to be at a certain level for radio play and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if I achieved that or not.
Mm, okay.
I made a lot of recordings, you know, throughout the years, and most of them pretty lo-fi. So this one, I want to make sure that it was not a lo-fi recording. It was a, you know, legitimate recording, mm-hmm, that was finished off by someone other than myself for once.
Yeah.
So far, I can tell a little bit of difference, but it sounds good from what I've heard so far.
Yeah.
And just have somebody else's ears and their mind, like, listen to a new song, all the tracks, and then rearrange it how they see it, is pretty good.
Yeah.
I like how that works out. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the new record is Young Skin Heart, and you think it's going to be out sometime by the end of the month, and people want to listen to it, want to get in touch with you. What's the best way to do that?
It's going to be on all the streaming services. So Apple, Spotify, you can play music, whatever it is. Whatever else is out there, I think 34 different ones that will be on.
And your website?
My website is RyanWarnerMusic.com.
RyanWarnerMusic.com. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm going to get physical copies made as well.
Yeah.
So
they can purchase that from you, from the website or from the...
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, thank you, Ryan. Enjoyed talking with you, and certainly wish you well with this new project.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never really thought about tools until I bought a house in the suburbs. It's like this weird homeowner test if I need a tool for a project and don't have it. And my neighbor Ted loves to give me that look when I ask to borrow a pole saw. A year ago, I didn't even know pole saws existed. And now I gotta borrow one from Ted? What is happening?
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Did you know Nissan EVs have traveled 8 billion miles? Just a quick trip to Pluto and back. And what did we learn along the way? Well, that an EV can take on the world, like the Nissan Leaf. It can move racing forward and take your breath away, like the all-new Nissan Ariya. We learned to make EVs that electrify. 8 billion miles driven by Leaf owners globally since 2010. Ariya not yet available for purchase. Expected availability late fall, subject to change.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.